I wanted to talk tonight about salvation and sanctification from a point of view of position, because we can't progress without position. I want you to do me a favor. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to hold it out in front of you. Now let it go. Pick it back up. Hold it out in front of you. Let it go. What happens? When you let it go, what happened? Why did it fall? Gravity. When does gravity work? All the time. When does gravity not work? Gravity always works. The only exception is if you're in an anti-gravity plate. What we need to do tonight before we get started, there's a little diagram on top. You've seen that diagram if you've been around me. I use it a lot in explaining what happened to us as believers. You'll notice that we were all sinners. How many could say, I was a sinner? If don't ever say that I am a sinner around me, because you're going to get a tongue lashing. Don't ever say that I'm a sinner. Because if you're a sinner, I'm going to want to say, let's pray and get you saved. Are you listening to me? Just like the pen dropped, you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. You're a child of God. The sinner's in the past tense. See, we all came, hopefully everyone here that I'm talking to, we all came to the knowledge of the Son of God and asked Him to come live in us. When we did that, we crossed an abyss that cannot return. We reached a place of no return. Where you see that cross, that was the place of no return. We died with Christ. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Just as you dropped the pen, you let go of the pen and it dropped, you died with Christ. Period. Done. Over. And you can't resurrect the old person. And the frustration that we do when we try to, when our flesh tells us that we never changed, we have to create an alternate universe. We have to create an alternate place where we actually believe and people teach that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. I have to sin. That's totally wrong. Totally wrong. The Word of God never says that. In fact, the Word of God, and we're going to talk about it tonight, challenges us to be perfect, to be separate, because Christ did it. The only way He could have done it is kill us. He killed us with Him. We didn't die in 1981 or 1995 or in 2000. We didn't die. We died at the cross 33 A.D. When He died, we died. We were in Christ at His death. He said this to His disciples. He said, you didn't choose Me, but I chose you. And He says that to us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. That we should go and bear much fruit. And the only way He could do that is make a law. Just like gravity works all the time. See? There are certain immutable laws of the universe. Don't walk out in front of a moving train. What's going to happen every time? You only can try it once. You only can walk out in front of a train once. You ain't going to get a second chance. Every time it's going to kill you. There are certain immutable laws that we do not cross, we do not go against. Come on, someone. Don't stick your fingers in a light socket. What's going to happen? Stick a fork in a toaster. What's going to happen? We don't argue about that. Those are things that we acknowledge and we know. But we always argue with ourselves about what Christ did. Not us, maybe not you. But the trouble that we have when we remain children in Christ is we don't believe that He did what He did. And it's just as real as gravity and the fork and the thing and the toaster and all those other things that we don't argue about. And we need not argue about what Christ did. Look with me in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And here's where Paul is beginning to explain some things that if we catch it, it'll take us eons away from where our struggles have been. Some of us have struggled for too long with this identity. We have an identity crisis. God, did you really do what you did? Am I really born again? Am I really a new creation? See? We expect to hold the pen out and it float. That's what we're expecting. We're expecting God. Somehow, it worked for everybody else, but it didn't. Listen, if you accepted Christ, you died. Watch what it says. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law. That's the pen in the air. That's the pen when you leave go. You have also, this is a matter of fact, you've also become dead to the law and through the body of Christ, to the law through the body of Christ that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. The fact is, my friend, is that you're saved all the way. That is no longer a question. The cross is now history. It's not something you keep going back to. Come on, somebody. That's like burying somebody 3 or 4 times. Once they're buried, they're buried. You don't dig them up and bury them again. Hey, that was fun. Let's do it again. I like that funeral. Let's do it again. Dig them back up. That's what we do. We keep going to the cross. We keep going to the cross. Are you sure I'm dead? Are you sure I'm dead? I don't feel dead. No, you need to accept it just like the fact. None of us would sit here and argue about stepping out in front of trains or sticking forks in toasters. None of us would argue about that. But we sit and we argue with ourselves and we have conversation. We see religious people that say, you didn't really die. Come to the altar again. See, it puts the responsibility on me. I didn't kill myself. God killed me. He did. He said, I can't deal with you as the old person, this unrepentant piece of flesh. I can't use you. You've got to die with my son. So you die and then you're born again and you're a new creation. Now I got something to work with. The law is not dead to us. And this is very important. We died to the law, Roman number 1. The law is not dead to us. The law has power to draw us back to a place of hopelessness. We have to watch because the law is very much alive. If we get into legalism, we're trying to remarry something that we can't remarry. Pastor, my spouse died 10 years ago. I'm going to dig her up and I'm going to bring her here. Would you marry me to her? No, but I'll call the men in the little white jackets for you. See, we died to the law. We're dead to the law. We're unrecognizable to the law. We're unrecognizable to the enemy. If we get that, it doesn't have anything to do with us. See? That's what Christ did. It cannot do so. It cannot draw us back to a place of hopelessness if we remain hidden in Christ. There are 3 deaths that each believer experiences. Number 1, death in sin, our condemnation. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in our trespasses. Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him and given you speech," so you can talk, "having forgiven you all trespasses." Come on. Because of our birth, we are dead in our sins. We were born into sin. Without Christ and His shed blood, we are condemned. Number 2, our death for sin, our justification. "For the love of Christ compels us," 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." We were dead in our sins and then we died. God said, whatever's left of you, I can't use. You're dead. Galatians 2:20 is wonderful. It says, "I've been crucified..." If you didn't know, if you weren't born again and you read this, that's why the Word of God is veiled to those who are perishing. Because you read this, you think it's schizophrenic is talking. Because he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live. I thought you were dead. Now you're saying you live. I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No, we were dead in our sins and then we died to sin. For sin. This death was not done alone. I died with Christ at the point of redemption. The only redemption that's recognized by God is what Christ did. And I had to enter into that death. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say for us to crucify ourselves again. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say go back to the cross and try it again. Nowhere. It's been twisted to say that. It doesn't say that. The cross is now behind me. The crown before me. I thank God for the cross. I thank God that He died for me. But now I'm filled with His Spirit and I'm called to perfection. That's different. We'll get to that. Crucifying the flesh is dying to ourselves daily, picking up our cross. But we're not dying again. We're already dead and alive in Christ. Death to sin, number three, our sanctification. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. There's a difference between dying to the flesh and dying again at the cross. Our flesh is very much alive. How many know we're warned about the flesh? The Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. Even the new creation has to fight the flesh. Someday we'll put down this flesh. Our five senses. What is true for us must be made real in us. What is judicial must be made practical. What Christ did at the cross must be made practical in our walking out our salvation, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Death from the penalty of sin must be followed by death to the power of sin. Christ said we're not guilty. Now we've got to have power over that temptation and power over the sin and the sins of the flesh. Roman numeral two aspects of sanctification. A is positional and instantaneous. Watch what 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. And then 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The idea that the work has already been accomplished is elusive because of the place given to a works gospel. We get into this thing, two reasons that I see why we get into a works mentality. We want to get credit for our deeds. That's the flesh. We want to say, God, look how good I am. I'm better than anybody you got. That's the drive of our flesh. We want to take some of the glory, take the spotlight off Jesus and partially on us. After all, we're obedient children. And when we have a really good run, we want to brag about it. Come on, don't leave me hanging. We say, I did a good job. I'm really an asset to the kingdom. We're nothing without Christ. He gets all the glory. My Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. It says in the Scriptures that we'll cast our crowns before Him. And then He'll turn and give everything. Not one person will get credit. Nobody will be called up and say, hey, is John Penn here? John, come up here. We want everybody to know what a good job John did. It ain't going to happen. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it begins now. That's one reason. The other reason is we're afraid we're going to lose something. We're not going to lose anything. Christ made sure. He took care of all that. So we don't lose anything. That's the whole idea of salvation. Eternal salvation means that Christ will hold us. We may be able to jump out. We may be able to run away. But no one can snatch us out of His hand. No one. The idea that we have to earn something or do something before we can be sanctified is totally ludicrous. The Word of God says we don't have to do anything. It's already done. You were sanctified, it says. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. Past tense. Not only is positional and instantaneous. It's progressive, positional, and practical. Let's look at that. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man in the image of God. God is working on us every day so we look more like Him. How many have ever felt the chisel of... I like it better when we say we're like clay, because that's a little... But there are places in me that need the chisel and the hammer. He's going to make me look like Him. That's what He started in me. Amen? What He started, He'll complete. As we yield to Him. It's nothing we do. It's what He does through us. It's absolute. Done once and for all. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering He is perfected forever. Look at that. And turn to your Bibles and look at that. And underline forever. For by one offering, who's the one offering? The one offering was Jesus Christ. The only offering that was acceptable. No other offerings will be made. We give a sacrifice of praise. We walk in holiness. We do those things. But the offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, it sounds like doublespeak. We're being perfected. We have been perfected forever, but we're still being sanctified. It's progressive. Christians must follow after holiness and perfect His consecration by cleaning ourselves from all defilement. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our part is to die to the flesh. What Joanne said about crucifying the flesh. What does it mean to crucify something? It means to kill it. Once it's crucified, it can't come back. Those fleshly desires that we have. It's positional. By positional, we mean that a sinner is changed into a child of God. This sanctification, we've moved from one place to another. What does the Word of God say? It says He took us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light. So darkness has nothing in me if I read my Bible right. I have to choose to walk into darkness now. Production begins after your position is set. Look at your diagram on the top of your page. Look at your diagram. Sanctification is alive with Christ. You are, from that position, you have authority. You have victory. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. You begin to walk like Christ. See? Our progression from C, D, E, F, G, we're going to the Z. We're going for perfection. But if we don't know what our position is, we'll always be dying with Christ and saying, I'm a sinner. And don't say those things. Don't say what the Word of God doesn't say. It doesn't say that you're a sinner. You're sanctified in Christ. I'm a child of God. Do I sin? Maybe. Yes, that's a possibility. And when I sin, He's made provision for sin. But I don't have to sin. Come on. Every time I choose to sin. As a saint, I choose to sin. I make a conscious decision to sin. Oh, I didn't know I couldn't help myself. Bull dinkies. Yes, you could help yourself. Before you couldn't help yourself, when you was a sinner, you sinned. I couldn't help to be a sinner. I was a sinner. That was my character. That was who I was. Come on, somebody. Turn to someone and say, He's talking to you. This is where we live, folks. That's right. You know, somebody, oh, I couldn't help myself. It came out. No, you made a decision somewhere in your spirit, man. You made a decision to ignore the prompting of the Spirit and go on and do your own thing. He's made a way of escape. He put an exit on every sin, every temptation that's given us. Yeah, the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, yeah. Let's read some scripture here. Lots of scripture to read. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Underline, are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's you. Called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. We are elect, chosen by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm chosen by God. And when He chose me, He gave me everything I need for life and godliness. Could I borrow your pen? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, I have it. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're living stones. We're chosen by God. Can I borrow your... Oh, I already got it. That's right. We spend a lifetime asking God for what we already have. If God gets frustrated, He has got to be looking for a counselor. But He doesn't. But if He was human, how many times, give me the pencil. If I got the pen, give me the pencil. If I got the pencil, I don't need to ask for it again. He's given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we go and we ask God. We even sing songs. One of the songs we sang tonight. We're asking for stuff that He's already given us. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I get it. I get that we're not, you know, we want to make sure, but gee whiz, I'm getting anywhere. You drive 10 feet and get out and kick the tires. Am I sure it's going to be okay? We have more faith to get in our cars and drive home than we do to walk in wholeness and purity and perfection. We do. We get in the car, we trust that Ford made the car good enough for us to get it from A to B. Until the other day, I had faith in my water heater was going to be okay, but that's another story. We had a water heater that the Lord kept prompting me every time I get down and do laundry. I look at the water heater, and He said, you better take care of that. And literally, the day I changed it, how many know that would have been a mess? That's a praise report. He saved us from a lot of grief. My wife was very happy. Colossians 3:3, for you died, past tense, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do not lie to one another, verse 9, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. How many times we lie and say we just couldn't help it? Yes, we can help it. Stop your lying. Yes, you can help it. I can't help that I gossip. Yes, you can. Don't gossip. I can't help it. I had to swear. No, you can help it. The positive side of progressive is the growing into the knowledge of God. The negative side of progressive is the attacks that are endured and shipwreck some. This sanctification is both a position and progressive. We are progressing. We are growing more like Christ. But all the attacks of the enemy cause us to doubt our position. Our position will never change. There on your diagram, wherever you are, from C to D to E to F, wherever you are, you can't go back. You're safe and secure in Christ. You may have to go through steps again and again and again. That's not God's fault. You can't volunteer to jump from C to J. God, I think I'm ready for J. I've been to a conference with the holy man of God, laid hands on me. So I can skip D, E, F, and G. Thank you very much. I'm ready. And right away, how many have ever been to a conference, felt that way until you got home? I told you about the guy that went to a men's conference and told you about this, the man with the manner, he's the boss of the house. It's all weekend. He was pumped up. He came home. It was midnight by the time he got home, had to drive home. Woke his wife up. For the next hour, preacher said, this is the way things are going to be. I'm the Lord of the manor. I'm the king of the castle, and you're going to listen to everything I say. He didn't see her for 2 weeks. Then he saw her just a little bit out of this eye. And here it is. The progression, this sanctification. If Christ is going to get this thing done, see, He's counting on you and me. Turn to somebody and say, He's counting on you. Because He's not here in bodily form. We can't go visit Christ. He's seated in the heavenly places, seated at the throne. But He sent His Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is living inside of us, reminds us of everything Jesus is saying, and He counts on us. We got to do it. It's very practical.
I'm sorry. I don't have...
Okay. You need to get saved, Siri. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, for you are still carnal, for where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That's chastisement. Superman ain't got nothing on me. It says you are acting like mere mortals, mere men. And we walk among earth people all the time. We try to be like them. We'll never be like them. See, unrepentant, unconverted man is can't know what we know. It doesn't make us better. It just makes us knowledgeable. It makes us responsible. Christ is counting on us. 1 Peter 1:15. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Another version says, the King James Version says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. When I first read that, I said, man, if I got a long way to go. We compare ourselves to the only one. The prototype, Jesus. He's the only one we compare ourselves to. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore put to death your members. Here's what Joanne was referring to. Therefore put to death, crucify your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And then verse 8 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to sinners. We've changed the gospel till we tell sinners they've got to clean them up, clean themselves. Don't say that. Why are you taking the Lord's name in vain? You're offending me. They don't know any better. Come on, somebody. How many witnesses have we ruined because we told somebody we're offended? Get over yourself. Taking the Lord's name in vain? Well, I wouldn't put up that. I'd tell them to stop doing that. Come on, somebody. That's like smacking a deaf person because they didn't hear the alarm. They don't know any better. But we do. Because our eyes have been opened. We're new creations. Now we put to death those things. Read just testimony a couple of weeks ago. Mega church pastor that had an affair. He said, I couldn't help my servant. The same God as me. Come on, somebody. You can help yourself. You're a Christian. You can help yourself. You just don't want to help yourself. Let's get real. I don't want to help myself. I made a choice. I'm free. When he said, I'm free, that's more of a threat sometimes than it is a promise. He says, you're free. You can do whatever you want. And then we can do whatever we want. Come on, someone. We can decide that we do. God's not going to stop us from entering into sin. He'll give us the exit sign, but He doesn't push us through it. We got to put off those things. Perfection, as in the New Testament. Positional perfection is in Christ. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So spiritual maturity. Who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I love that. When I am, and I've been going through some prayer time here and thinking about different things that we're changing and adding and taking away. And I said, I don't have to struggle because I have the mind of Christ. All I got to do is be quiet and listen for Him. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people tonight? 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding, that's another way of saying, a kind way of saying, just grow up. Stop your little sniveling. You see a 6-year-old kid with a diaper on, you got problems. Let's talk to the parents. Toilets. Everybody knows how to go to the toilet. Get your kid out of diapers. But we in the church are so verbose and so our minds are so open, our brains are falling out. Oh, well, Mitch, make an excuse. We would put up with you. Grow up. By now, we should be eating meat and we're still drinking milk. We're still going to the cross. We're still going, I don't know. I don't know if I'm dead. I don't know. I'm expecting every time I leave the pen go, I'm hoping it floats so I'm proven right. Come on, somebody. And Christ says it's going to fall every time. You're dead. This life that you're feeling in you, this sense of God is in you. He lives in you. It's not something you're imagining or something that grows when you get to church or to a conference. I'm with you all the time, 24/7. Philippians 3:15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Why? Because we're born again. We're new creation. Progressive perfection, number 4. Galatians 3:3, Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The whole thing Paul built by His teaching and the whole thing the Holy Spirit did. They were trying to tear down. They were trying to win approval of God by the works of the flesh. Of course, none of us knew that, see? So we won't spend long there. Perfection in certain aspects, the will of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. God would never have us pray for something that's impossible. God's not a tease. He said, you guys can pray. It may or may not work out. I'm not really to tell you. I'll see you. And off he went in a cloud. Isn't that what he did? Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing, you'll get it, you'll receive it. Woo! Come on, somebody. Get a little excited at 8:58. Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing that you receive, you'll have. I mean, here we are poking around in the dark. God, are you sure? Do you win? I don't know. I do the same thing. And then God says, I gave you the pencil. Don't ask for the pencil's sake. Don't come back asking me for stuff you already have. I want to use what you have. Love for man. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. I get embarrassed sometimes hearing Christians talk. They've already judged people, saying mean and terrible things about people. I wonder if people left their brains hanging with their underwear. I'd do that. Come on, somebody. Sometimes people say stupid stuff, but we're supposed to love them. They say stupid stuff because why? The scary part is when Christians start saying stupid stuff. We know better. We're supposed to love our enemies. Instead, we curse them. Love for service. Hebrews 13:21. May He make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what's He doing? He's making us complete in every good work to do His will. How is that happening? He's working in you. Say, Christ is working in me. Perfection in heaven, Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that why we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Wait a minute, you just said I'm perfected. Made every man perfect. But if you understanding, look back at the diagram. If you understand that we're made perfect positionally so that we can be perfect progressively. We're not imperfect. We're not sinners. We're not in a place where we need to go to the cross again and die again. We're dying to the flesh. We're going on. But we're in a position. You'll never get the victory if you don't understand a position. We are fashioned for heaven every day of our lives. God is working on us. Remember, He identifies perfection by one example, Christ. Well, I'm every bit as good as my pastor or my Sunday school teacher or my neighbor. No, but have you met the requirements of Christ? That'll keep you humble. Ephesians 4:12, perfection of the church for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Jesus prayed in John 17, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Each one represents one aspect of the church only. I'm only one aspect of the church. I need you. I need you to be your aspect of the church. I need you to pray for me. I need you to lift my arms up. I need you to encourage me. I need you to chasten me. I need you to correct me. We all need each other because it's the full body of Christ that reflects the glory of God, not just one or two individuals. We together make up the body of Christ. Now, if it's festering and you're in a room and the whole body is at your... We talk about against scratch. That's why the world's going, ha-uh, ain't going to do it. And loving. Everybody wants to be loved. And out from under the robe of righteousness, too often falls the robe of judgment. Where we ostracize somebody. Okay, I'll close, but that out on the road, had an affair, and was found out and corrected, and he had another affair, corrected. He had like three or four times where he had a great man of God just had just a revelation time and time again. And finally, his board that sent him out said, we're stopping everything. Not only were we stopping everything, but he wrote all kinds of books. All your books are coming off the market. We don't want you speaking. We don't want you to say anything. We want you seated. You get a job seated. We're going to reestablish your marriage, reestablish your position in Christ. You're not going to be able to speak until maybe never. How many know a lot of people don't submit to that kind of thing? It took them 3 years of counseling and crying and deliverance. And that man is back out on the road preaching. We need each other. We need to be the body of Christ again. If nothing else, we need it. If there be any consolation, when are we going to speak? We don't want to hurt anything. We don't want to be seen as divisive. But listen, if that's Christian, I don't want to be thrown in the same bag as some of those. Is that where we live? People, no wonder they don't want to. I do things for my wife because she loves me unconditionally. She doesn't put demands. She doesn't have a list of demands. If you're going to continue to be my husband, you got to do this, 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 and this, or you're out of here. I do this, this. God says you do to me because I've already done all that for you. So that's good. In my office at home, I have. What's that? That's what God's calling us to do. I believe He wants us to. I believe whenever we keep going 5 feet and get out. Pastor, is there revival? Can we win souls?
Yes.
Yes, you can. I already did that. I'm living in you, for Pete's sakes. Open your mouth. Yeah. Somebody had their hand up. I'm sorry. Hold a crusade. And the Spirit of God, you could feel it coming through the video, for Pete's sakes. And this whole article was, this guy's not of God. He's an anti-God. I said, what are you, out of your cotton-picking brain? I wonder if you have the mind of Christ. Look. It's just look, the proof's in the pudding. A million people worshiping God. I want somebody. This is steak tonight, folks. Prime rib. If you grab a hold of this, there's a change. Something changed. I don't really hear much feedback to it, but I hope and I pray that this is feeding. Because very soon, we're going to be called upon. Yeah. Yeah, there's been many, but just a few. All of us are going to be. I don't know about you, but I hate. How many remember when you were being cleaned up? When you were first saved? Somebody had a terrible job to do with me. But He's calling on every one of us to ratchet it up, to be mature, with the cross behind. We used to sing this song, the cross before me, the world behind me. And in the college I went to, then we sang, the cross behind me, the crown before me, the cross behind me, the crown before me, the cross behind me, the crown before me, no turning back, no turning back. Father, Lord, tonight we thank You for all that You've done for us. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or hope for. You've already done it all. You've already taken care of all the things. You've moved every obstacle possible. The only thing that we're fighting is our flesh. And our doubt and unbelief. We confess that to You tonight, God. Lord, would You take that sin of doubt and unbelief away from us? Remove it from our sight, God, that we might see the clear path set before us. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by You. And we delight in Your way. We delight in Your way, God, and we want to walk that way in victory in everything we think and do and say. Lord, I pray that this would become part and parcel of everyone listening tonight, everyone here tonight. In our devotions the rest of the week, in the time that we have spending with You, may we get revelation of these things and walk on a different level. Thank You for your approval of our lives through the blood of Jesus Christ. I give You all the glory and the power in Jesus' name.